the Lord.
Amen.
We come to Roman number 4 of the outline, which is very short. It's 4 A, B, C, D. Right? So don't expect a long message then. Although it's very short, yet it's very important. Right? Maybe the most important item here. Yet we see that God would never give up Zion. Amen. Praise the Lord, because Zion is so much in his heart. Amen. We have to see why God would never give up Zion, because it is truly, as we sang this morning, it is the city of the great King. Amen. Right? So the Lord would never give it up. And we really saw that on one hand, history shows that God has always been judging because God wants to restore Zion. And the enemy also wants to destroy. But praise the Lord, God has always kept for himself a very small remnant. Right? The purpose of which is to restore. To restore Zion. Right? We saw that in Isaiah after Jerusalem was destroyed and the temple burned down. Yet the Lord, after 70 years, used Cyrus, right, to bring back the captivity of Zion and to rebuild Jerusalem. Right? Later on, somebody's going to share more about what God did through King Cyrus. Right? And then we also see that in AD 70, because of the children of Israel rejecting the Messiah, right, was also punished. God allowed Titus to come in and destroy Jerusalem. It was a big destruction, a devastation of the whole city, right? But God also intervened, I think, because of the death of Titus' father, the emperor. He had to go back, and Jerusalem was not fully destroyed. And since then, Israel was without a nation for over 2,000 years. Did you think the Lord forgot Israel already? Forgot Jerusalem? Surely not. Praise the Lord, in 1948, the nation of Israel was restored. And in 1967, Jerusalem was fully recovered, fully under the control of Israel. So the Lord did not forget Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. And just recently, right, Jerusalem was recognized by the strongest country on earth today as the eternal capital of Israel. Amen. Praise the Lord, right? And the Bible shows us that at the end, the enemy will also gather together to destroy Jerusalem, right? At that time, Revelation shows us that Israel became also very sinful. It was described as Egypt and Sodom. So it was also ripe for judgment. That's why we read Zechariah chapter 14, right? It tells us that on that day, that means at the end of the last 3.5 years, the Lord will also again gather the nations to battle against Jerusalem. Again, because of the sinfulness that was in that city at that time. And here it shows us that the Lord will again fight against these nations and will provide a way of escape for the remnant, right? And if you go on to read in verse 8, It says, in that day it shall be that living waters shall flow from Jerusalem, half of them toward the eastern sea and half of them toward the western sea. In both summer and winter it shall occur. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day it shall be the Lord is one and his name is one. And to continue verse 10, it says, all the land shall be turned into a plain from Geba to Rimmon, to south of Jerusalem. All this land surrounding Jerusalem will become a plain, right? And Jerusalem shall be raised up and inhabited in her place from Benjamin's gate to the place of the first gate and the corner gate, and from the tower of Hanel to the king's winepress. And the people shall dwell in it, and no longer shall there be utter destruction, but Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited. As in Matthew 25 tells us that when the Lord comes back, he will what, sit on the throne of David in Jerusalem. There he will be king forever and ever. Praise the Lord. In the 1,000 years kingdom, Jerusalem will be the eternal capital, will be the throne of David. Why is Jerusalem so precious to God? Well, as we sang in the song, the Lord has chosen Zion, what, to be his habitation forever. Let's read again Psalm 132. Many times we think that the church is just for us, for our enjoyment, right, for fellowship. But we need to see this morning that Zion is something for God, what God wants for himself, right? So if you read Psalm 132, it says in verse 13, for the Lord has chosen Zion. He has designed it. He desired it for his dwelling place. Zion is God's choice. It's good to know what God's choice is, and that to make God's choice our choice, right? He has desired it. The Lord, the possessor of heaven and earth, has a desire, right? And it says, Zion, he has desired it for his dwelling place. And then it goes on to say in verse 14, this is my resting place forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. Zion is the Lord's resting place. He will never rest until he gets Zion. Praise the Lord. We have to see that, right? And we need to really feel what God wants for himself, not what we want for ourselves. We are always so self-centered. But it's about time that we turn our focus to what God wants, not what we want, right? You know, David is called a man after God's heart because he cared for what God wants, what God needs, right? Sometimes we just care for what men needs, but we don't care for what God needs. But David, he had all the blessings of God. He lived in a wonderful palace, but then all of a sudden one day he found out that God also needed a dwelling place, right? So today we need to see also that God wants to have Zion. Amen. Zion is so much in his heart, right? And he will never, ever give up Zion. There's also a verse. Let me see here. It says here in Psalm 146 and verse 10. Let's take a look at that too. He says, the Lord shall reign forever, your God, O Zion, in all generation. So Zion is not just his dwelling place. We have to see Zion is his throne. it represents the kingdom of God, right? Actually, Zion was mentioned at least 176 times in the Bible. And do you know when it was first mentioned? Anybody know? 2 Samuel, right. I think it's chapter 5 and verse 7. Chapter 5, the beginning tells us that David was crowned king in Hebron, right? And there he reigned for 7 years, but he did not stay there. That was not the place that he chose to be, where his throne should be, right? But in verse 6, it says, "And the king and his men went to Jerusalem against the Jebusites, the inhabitants of the land, who spoke to David, saying, 'You shall not come here, but the blind, the lame will repel you,' thinking David cannot come in here." They are grossly mistaken, right? Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion. That is the city of David. Praise the Lord. Now David, on that day, okay, now let's go on to verse 9, right? "Then David dwelled in the stronghold and called it the city of David. And some call it the city of the great king. Beautiful in elevation." Right? And I think there's another good verse that we should read about Zion. And that is in Psalm 87. But I want to say here that David, being a type of Christ, he conquered the Jebusites. The Jebusites were quite a formidable enemy. Very powerful, very strong, not so easy. Right? They thought David will never make it. But praise the Lord, he did. He conquered them. And it's a type of Christ, his victory on the cross, right? To defeat Satan and to bring in his kingdom. So praise the Lord. Today the Lord is building his kingdom in Zion. Now let's go to Psalm 87. Psalm 87 verses 87, verse 2 and 3. "The Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things are spoken of you, O city of God." Wow, the Lord loves the gates of Zion. That means of all the dwelling places of Jacob, of Israel, it's actually a good land, right? It's probably the best spot in the world, but he wants the best of the best, right? Of all the dwelling places of Jacob, God chose Zion. He loves Zion, right? Amen. Praise the Lord. So I hope we will also learn to love Zion, right? In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 12 concerning the church in Philadelphia, it says here in verse 12, right? "To the overcomers, the Lord says, 'He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. And he shall go out no more. And I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God. And I will write on him my new name.'" So how many names are written in your heart? Shirley, how many names? Two or three? I hope three, not just two. Right? It also should include the name of the city of my God. If we are overcomers, the Lord will write in our heart the name of Zion. I hope Zion is really in our heart today. We should really care for Zion. You know, the Christians today, you know what's written in their heart? Heaven. They all want to go to heaven. We should delete that from our heart. We should change it to Zion. Praise the Lord. Our goal is Zion, right? To bring in God's kingdom. This is God's purpose from the very beginning. Why he created man in the first place, that he should have dominion over all his creation. But men fell. And then God called Abraham, and through Abraham, he gained a nation, the nation of Israel, right, to be Zion, to be the kingdom of God on earth today. But that is the old, I wouldn't say the old, I would say the earthly Jerusalem, the earthly Zion. And God loved it, right, and he did not allow it to be destroyed. But we know Abraham has two kinds of people, right? God told him his people, his seed should be like the sand of the sea and the stars in the heaven. That means God also has a heavenly people. And we today are his heavenly people. And now we need to come to Hebrews chapter 12 to see that we also today as his heavenly people, we are also in the heavenly Mount Zion. There is not just an earthly Mount Zion. Today we're not so much for the earthly Jerusalem, but we should be for the heavenly Jerusalem, right? Let's come to Hebrews chapter 12. We need to see that the church today is Zion, right? We do not have so much this concept. For years, we have emphasized that the church is the dwelling place of the living God, the house of the living God, right? The body of Christ. But here, in Hebrews, it says here in verse 22, but you have come to what? Mount Zion, and the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Yeah, we need to further our vision of the church to see that it is the city. You know, to be in the Father's house and to be in a city is a little different, right? In the Father's house, you can be very free, you can be very loose, you can wake up anytime you want, right? Tibo comes home sometimes and, oh, he really enjoys being in the Father's house, right? Right, mom cooks for him, and very nice. But if you're in a city, we have to see further that the church is not just the Father's house, it's the city of the living God. You know, what do you have in a city? You have ordinances, rules, regulations, right? You are restricted. You just cannot do anything you want. Many of us who came from Manila, we found, oh, we have to drive differently. We have to queue up, right? You can't just rush to the front, right? You do business in a different ways. Everything is so different because we are in a different city. Why are we so loose today in the church life? Why do we just give so many excuses? You know, 5 days a week, you come on time to work. Hey, because there are regulations. right? Whether you have one child, whether you're not married, you're married, you have one child, two children, three, you still come to work on time. You cannot tell your boss, sorry, I now have three kids, can't make it on time anymore. But hey, to the church, in the church life, we have so many excuses. We can't even make it on time, and we have so many excuses. Because we thought the church is just the Father's house. The Father will understand, right? We need to have a change of concept. The church is today the city of the living God. Amen. Right? Amen. We cannot just be so loose. We will miss and lose the kingdom like that, right? So it says here, to an innumerable company of angels. Praise the Lord. What are angels for? What does it say in Hebrews chapter 1? The last verse. They are what? Ministering spirits. Right? They're not really that great. They're just our helpers. Right? Helping us. Our ministering to us. To help us make it to the kingdom. Praise the Lord. God is so gracious. He sent so many angels to help us. Right? And to what? To the loving Father who is so forgiving and understanding. Is it? Is that what it says in your Bible? To God, the judge of all. Wow. You know, after hearing all these messages concerning the inward, the inner enemy, and all the wars, now I can understand why in Zion we need to know God as the judge. If he's just a loving Father of understanding and forgiving us all the time and say, it's okay, it's okay. We won't make it to the kingdom. Right? We can now appreciate after hearing the previous messages why we need God as the judge of all. We need him to judge us. So much of the flesh of the self that is still in us, the natural man, right? Our fallen humanity, so many things we need to be judged, right? Oh Lord, yeah, the judge of all. We need to know God as the judge of all, right? And to the spirits of just men made perfect. We need to be perfected, you know, to qualify to be co-kings with Christ in the coming kingdom. We need to be perfected. You know, when Lorraine was in her fourth year and I went to the Philippines, she blamed me for going into medicine. She said, George, why didn't you tell me? It's so tough, so hard to be a doctor. I said, I did. He said, no, you didn't. She thought medicine is just studying. Oh, she's a good student, right? She loves to study. So she thought it's just learning. But she found out, no, hey, to be a doctor, you need to be perfected. You need to be trained. You need to go through a lot of sufferings, sleepless nights, right? You need to go on call. And you start from the bottom where you do all the dirty job, right? And then you rise slowly. And now she has to do residency. It's not so easy. And that's just to become a doctor, right? To deal with human lives. But just to study the books, not enough. You need to go through a lot of perfecting, so to speak. It's the same with us today. We need to be perfected. Right, if we don't see the church as Zion and God as the judge of all, to perfect us, right? To chasten us, that we would, it says here earlier in the same chapter, right? That we would be partakers of his righteousness, of his holiness, and to bear fruits of righteousness, right? To those who have been trained by it. Don't think it is easy to reign with Christ in his kingdom when he comes back. Right? I really appreciate seeing Zion. I really appreciate now all that has happened. So all the difficulties, the sufferings that, you know, we go through in life. Sometimes I wonder why it has to happen like that. Why, right? We all have our difficult situations. Now we know why. Praise the Lord. It is the Father chastening us, training us, right? Oh, Lord. And then we go on. It says here, ah, Lord Jesus, amen. And then it says in verse 28, therefore we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken. Praise the Lord. Here we are really preparing to receive a kingdom, right? We need to have that focus in our church life. It's not just to enjoy. Sometimes we stress so much enjoyment, right? But we need to see that, no, we are not here to just enjoy, but we are here being trained. And we are receiving an unshakable kingdom. And here in the church life, in Zion, we learn not just to serve God in any way. If I like it, I do it. If I don't like it, I don't do it. Right? Depends on my mood. And I serve any way I want. This is how it is among many of God's people. But here it says we need to learn to serve God acceptably. With what? With reverence and godly fear. Sometimes I told the saints one time in Vancouver that we have more reverence towards our boss than towards the Lord. Right? We are so afraid of our boss, but we are so loose towards the Lord in the church life. Right? But we need to learn to serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. We need to learn to fear God in the church life. Right? And then it says in verse 29, for our God is a consuming fire. We don't like to hear that. But it's written, right? It is written that in Zion, our God is a consuming fire. That means if we don't allow God to judge us today, we will be judged when he comes back before the judgment seat of Christ. I think it's good to read 1 Corinthians just to understand what that consuming fire is, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's just read that. Let's read from verse 12. Or 11, huh? 11 to 15. 11 to 15. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. And if anyone works is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet as so through fire. And what kind of fire? Consuming fire. So this is a warning to all of us. It's good today that we already know that God, our God, is not just a loving Father. On one hand, he is, but on the other hand, in Zion, he is a consuming fire. We really need to have a godly fear. Amen. And if we build with wood, hay, and stubble, everything that we do will be burned up. Oh Lord, I hope we really see what Zion is in Hebrews chapter 12, right? There's another place in the New Testament that talks about Zion, and that is in 1 Peter. Let's go to it and just see what Peter mentioned concerning Zion. 1 Peter chapter 2. It says here in verse 4. Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the Scriptures, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." Good, until there. Yeah, you all, he says in verse 4, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. Referring to Christ as the what? The cornerstone. Why is Christ precious to God? Christ is precious to you, right? Why? Because he's your Savior. He died for you. But why is he precious to God? God doesn't need a Savior, right? He's precious to God as a what? Cornerstone. He's precious to God as a cornerstone. Because to build up Zion, the Lord needs a cornerstone. You know what a cornerstone is, right? Let me see if I can draw. I'm never good at drawing, but I'll take a chance. What is a cornerstone? Oh, I can't open it.
That one is hard to open.
Okay. Cornerstone is like this, right? Cornerstone. It has to be, of course, exactly 90 degrees here, right? Anyway, I guess Jasmine can confirm that every building needs a cornerstone. That is very exact, right? And all the stones that are used to build the building is aligned with the cornerstone, whether going this way or going that way, right? You need, this cornerstone is very precious. Without that, you cannot build anything. Without that, you cannot build anything. Huh? It has to be Christ as the cornerstone and nothing else. Don't use anybody else as your cornerstone, right? No man is qualified, capable to be a cornerstone. That is why Christ here as the cornerstone is precious to God. Right? Oh Lord, and if we want to be built up, we also have to be precious to him. Oh Lord, amen. Yeah. And we, as living stones, we need to come to him, right? I'm learning more and more every morning to come to say, Lord, I come to you as to a living stone. Make me living for the building up of Zion. Right? Amen. Living not for myself, but so that you can have Zion, so that Zion can be built up. Right? The Lord cannot build up Zion with dead stones. If you're dead spiritually, the Lord cannot build us up. So we need to be living. And to be living is to really experience Christ as our life, to be strengthened in our spirit. Right? It's a spiritual house. It's not a physical house. It's not just our coming together physically, but it's our being in spirit, learning to live and walk in the spirit, right? To be built up a spiritual house. Otherwise, we just meet once a week, and very little time to build up. But if we are in the spirit in our daily living, especially praying for one another, like Paul, many times he said he was absent in the body, but he's present in the spirit, right? So he's not limited to his body. Amen, O Lord. So we are being built up a spiritual house. O Lord. And it is to offer spiritual sacrifices. All this, it's really the Lord's mercy to show us that concerning Zion, all these things are brought out, especially at this time, in this age, when the Lord is coming back so soon, concerning the spiritual sacrifices to offer to the Father, right? Oh, Lord Jesus. Yeah, then let's jump to verse 9. Of course, here in verse 7, the emphasis is not just to believe, but to learn to obey, right? It says here, therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who do not believe, is it? But to those who are disobedient. That means it is not just about believing. In Zion, we have to learn obedience. We need the Lord to rule and reign in our hearts. Right? Just like what our sister says, we need to learn, let the peace of God rule in our heart. Amen. Learn to let the Lord rule in your heart. Touch you concerning so many areas in your life and change us, right? And verse 9 says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Do we have this realization that we are a nation? We just say, oh, the saints. Praise the Lord for the saints. But we do not have the realization that we are a holy nation. What does it mean, a holy nation? What does a nation have? What's most important in a nation? Of course, the king. Yeah. What else? The constitution. Right? Every country has a constitution. It's very important. Otherwise, everybody will be so lawless. Everybody will just do whatever he wants. Right? We are so lawless many times because we do not have the consciousness that the church, Zion, is a holy nation. Right? We have the constitution. And what is the constitution? The whole Word of God is actually the constitution. Right, we need to really know the laws. The word of God should be written in our hearts. Just like what Ezra says. What does he say? He didn't want to just read the word, but also to practice it and to teach, right? So we need to realize that Zion is a nation. It has a constitution. Right? If we do not keep the constitution, there is going to be chaos. Right? So, we need to see that the church is a holy nation and God's people, right? We were not a people, but now the people of God. We're not just saints. We are the people of God with a constitution, right? Oh, Lord. And then it says here, a royal priesthood. Very important, right? We need to practice the royal priesthood. Oh, Lord, may the Lord continue to show us what it means to be a priest. Oh, hopefully we're not just priests by name, but we are practicing priests, right? Really, yeah, really doing the job of a priest, right? To bring the offerings and to really pray for all the saints. Amen, Lord Jesus. And it says here, who were not a people, but now the people of God. Verse 9, it says, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. In Zion, we show the praises of him, not of you and I, right? In Zion, we should give all the praises and the glory to our Lord. We should show his praises, right? Lord Jesus. So we can see that Zion is something not just the house of the living God, where we can be so loose, right? Amen, Lord Jesus. Now let's continue. So what is the requirement of the kingdom of God? What is required of us? Well, Hebrews, if you read Isaiah chapter 4, chapter 35 and verse 3 and 4. It says, strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fear-hearted, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. With the recompense of God, he will come and save you. I think Hebrews quoted this verse as well, right? In Zion, we cannot afford to stay weak. To be weak, always. Oh, I'm so weak, right? After 5 years, I'm still so weak. It's not good, right? In Zion, we need to strengthen the weak hands. We need to be strong. Paul says, be strong in the Lord. Right? Make firm the feeble knees. The Lord needs strong citizens in his kingdom, right? It says to those who are fearful-hearted, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. So may the Lord strengthen us, right? Just like what Paul says in Ephesians. We have to realize as Zion, as we have heard, there is an enemy that is always there to try to destroy us. Inward enemy, outward enemy. So Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, finally, right? Talking about the church at the end, he says, finally, my brethren, verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Praise the Lord. In Zion, we need to be strong in the Lord. We need to be His army. Every nation has an army, right? Otherwise, it can be easily defeated, destroyed by the enemy. So, the requirement in the church life as Zion is that we need to be strong, right? And the Lord can, we can be strong not in ourselves, but we can be strong in the Lord, right? We need to learn to stand against the wiles of the devil, right? Yeah, amen. To stand. Amen, Lord Jesus. And also to really pray. Pray without ceasing. The Lord has really been touching me concerning the matter of prayer. To learn to pray every day, right? It goes on to say here, praying in verse 18, it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end. Being watchful in prayer. You know, I've found a good use of my smartwatch. Every day at 3 o'clock, I set an alarm every day to remind me to pray. Because I will forget. I told the Lord I want to pray for the saints every day. But I will forget. So thank God for this smartwatch. Alarm sets off an alarm every day at 3. Then it reminds me, oh, that is to pray. So it says to watch unto prayer. That means you have to be sure you don't miss it. And it is helpful. So if you have a smartwatch, make good use of it. Let it remind you to pray, to watch unto prayer. For Zion. We need to learn to pray now for Zion. Not just for ourselves, not just for our family, for our job, for our health, but learn to pray for Zion and to bind Satan, right? We should be like that widow who keeps bugging the judge, giving him no rest day and night. So for Zion, we need to be such people who are really strong and pray unceasingly, right? And then let us just read what the normal condition of Zion is. Let's just read Isaiah chapter 35. This is the normal condition of Zion, what the Lord wants Zion to be. Praise the Lord. Let's read from verse 5. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing. And water shall burst forth in the wilderness, and stream in the desert. The parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of jackals, where each lay, there shall be grass with reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there, and a road, and it shall be called the highway of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for others. Whoever walks on the road, although a fool, shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast go up on it. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed of the Lord there, and the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrows and sighing shall flee away. Praise the Lord. If we experience the reality of Zion, and we allow the Lord to judge us, right? And we serve the Lord acceptably, then we will, the Lord has a wonderful promise for us, right? The water shall burst forth in the wilderness. The church life will not be like a wilderness. Sometimes we like to invite people to come, but when they come to a wilderness. They're not drawn, right? But if we really have the reality of Zion, the Lord has a wonderful promise, right? The eyes of the blind will be opened. The ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Oh, Lord, then we will all be so joyful, right? And the parched ground shall become a pool. People, when they come here, they will really be refreshed. And the thirsty land springs of water. Amen. Oh, Lord. If our condition is like that, then the ransom of the Lord will return. When they come and they see the reality of Zion, they will come, right? With singing. Praise the Lord. So may the Lord really open our eyes. And if we today are already in Zion, living in the reality of Zion, we will be one of the first fruits that will be raptured to the heavenly Zion. Praise the Lord, right? Amen.